when they come from our heart, they honor God. And so may every gift that you give reflect your love, your thankfulness to God for his many, many blessings. Thank you, Father, for this privilege to return back to you a portion of what you let us have and use in this life. It's all yours. It's not ours. But as we return it to your work, to the sharing of the gospel, to the advancing of your kingdom, may each gift be blessed by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We are in here where it's dry for now. Looks like we're going to have a washout in just a little while. You know what? It doesn't bother me. We need the rain. God provides, and he's good to us. And, you know, as we're moving forward in this series, you know, we're piecing together the parts of the Bible that all lead us to Jesus. And aren't you glad that we have Jesus to look forward to? That you had that reason to get up this morning and get ready to go to church? And we've talked about a lot of things. We've come from Genesis, and we've come all the way into the New Testament. We've talked about Jesus' baptism. We've talked about communion. And today, we're going to talk about the cross and the crucifixion. It's Easter Sunday again. We should be celebrating the crucifixion every day. And we should be mindful of the cross every day. And when we're thinking about the crucifixion of Jesus, it had differing effects on the people gathered that day, didn't it? Everybody there had a different experience when it came to the cross. And the same is true today. It has a similar, differing effects on people as they come to the cross today. And that differing is good, but it's also bad. And I want us to take a look at the cross today and how the cross should lead to transformation. You should never come to the cross of Jesus and leave the same. The cross is where we find our identity. As Christians, our identity is in Christ. And Christ died on the cross for us. We need to remember that. Where do you find your identity? Well, today we're going to talk about some different groups of people that were there at the cross and their identities. But I want to take another look at the cross. Like, say a young waitress at a restaurant is asked the question, why are you wearing a cross? And to her, it's just a piece of jewelry. The kind of things lots of people wear. It had no real significance to her at all, other than it was pretty. And then a tourist bought a brass souvenir called a toric cross. You know what that is? It is a diamond-shaped center with four projections that come out from each point. And the trinket is not shaped like a typical cross, but it is a cross indeed. But amazingly, this cross is the symbol of the nomadic Tuareg tribe of people in the Sahara Desert in northern Africa. And what is most surprising about this cross is that these people are Muslim, not Christian. Yet they have their roots around this symbol of a cross. Historians and anthropologists are not sure where it came from or why it's so important to these people. But my point is this. Somewhere along the line, the cross has lost its significance in our society. It has lost its significance in what we see when we see the cross. We're surrounded by images of the cross, aren't we? There's crosses on jewelry, crosses on church buildings, and even crosses along the highways when we travel. And do we ever look at that and think of Jesus, or do we just see another cross? We come together in church every Sunday, and we turn our attention to the cross when we gather around this table and celebrate communion. It's a wonderful thing that we do. But with all of this that we do, with all the seeing and doing and the crosses everywhere, does it desensitize us to the cross and its meaning? Now, I can't answer that for you. It's all up to the individual, isn't it? Each individual has to come up to what the cross means to them and whether or not it is significant to them or not. And that is the case today. But it was also the case 2,000 years ago. Witnessing the crucifixion of Jesus had differing effects on the people gathered that day. And it has similar differing effects today. And what I hope to do today is to help us take another look at the cross so that its meaning might bring about the necessary transformation we need in our life. So let's go back to the cross and see who was present that day. Perhaps we see ourselves in some of these people. And what I want you to do is be real honest with yourself today when I talk about who was there and see where you fit in. Because we're real good at saying we'll be this group when we really fit in this group. So let's be real honest. Were you there when they crucified our Lord? I bet you were, in a sense. How did you and how are you responding to the Lord? So let's look at these people. We're going to read out of Matthew 27. And when we go out of Matthew 27, we're going to read different pieces of scripture out of the gospel. It says, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, where they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes, casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now, we read that scripture all the time at Easter. But this is not Easter, is it? No reason not to do it today. So who do you see here in this scripture? The duty keepers. These duty keepers were many Roman soldiers that were present that day. They were responsible for the crucifixion. And to them, it was just another day in the office, wasn't it? I mean, it was just another day, another crucifixion. They had seen scores of crucifixions. And these were the same as the others. Two common thieves and an insurrectionist. So they were just going through the motions like they do every day. They had the parade out of the city. They undressed the man, attaching him to the cross with either ropes or nails or both. And we know that Jesus was nailed to the cross because doubting Thomas would not believe until he saw the nail marks. But put the cross in place, in the ground, and then try to pass time until the guy's dead. What a job. The worst part of the job, no doubt, was the boredom and the heat for them. Now just think about that. It's a lot like the flag guy you see along the road with the slow sign, stop. Just trying to deal with the time and the boredom. This is what these guys did day in and day out. And the text very plainly says, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. The people on the cross weren't going anywhere, were they? There really wasn't much else to do than to sit patiently and watch. Maybe the only danger that somebody might come and try to help the person get off the cross. Well, when we come to the cross for Sunday worship or our daily walk, are we just going through the motions? Do we just come in and sit and watch? Are we just here because it's our duty? You know what I mean. Just put in our time so we get our heavenly paycheck. Is that what we're here for? Is that the reason we got up this morning and got ready? Are we in a hurry to get this thing over with so we can get on what we really enjoy in life? Do you know how many times I see people doing this while I'm up here? They want to make sure I'm done. Time to get to lunch before the Baptist. You know. But I mean, really, I mean, are you here because you want to honor Jesus and the cross, or are you here just because of that duty, because it's what you ought to do? Because you've got to put in your time. No amount of church attendance is going to get you to heaven. Following Jesus to the cross will. So why are you here? It's a good question, isn't it? Do you fit in the duty keepers? I mean, it's a tough place to be. Because I hope you don't. Well, that'd be a travesty. So would be a total disregard for the significance of the cross. And Jesus would have died for you just to go through the motions. Nevertheless, there were duty keepers there that day, and there are still duty keepers at church today. You know who you are. I don't. Also present that day was the game players. Those people who you wouldn't believe it, but they could be so cold. And it appears that the soldiers took the clothes off of Jesus and they gambled for him right there in front of him. They took the clothes off his back and they didn't even go around the corner and hide. They did it in front of him while he's hanging on the cross playing games. Are there game players and gamblers at the cross of Jesus today? Oh yeah, there he is. These are the people who don't take religion very seriously. To them, it's all fun and games. Now, I think we ought to have more fun than anybody. Being a Christian should be fun, but it's serious fun because we're rejoicing in the Lord. I can't stand a bunch of sour people, can you? I think we should be joyful. But don't play games with your salvation. Following Jesus and the cross of Jesus is nothing to mock at. Nothing to play games at. It's something to take seriously. These are the people that don't take it seriously. They don't mind occupying their mind with anything but the cross during worship. I see people they've posted during worship on Facebook. And it's not about church. You just think I don't troll you on your Facebook pages, don't you? You know why you do that? You know why people, they occupy their mind with other things? Because they don't want to deal with the seriousness of their sin. And if you come to the cross and you pay attention, then it might step on your toes. And most of this attitude is unconscious. There's an underlying goal is to see just how much they can get from Jesus without it costing them anything. They're trying to win the heavenly lotto with a $1 investment. Rather than taking the path of holiness, service, and discipleship, they're placing their bets on the grace of God. This is the attitude that Paul wrote about in Romans 6. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" You know, God won't look with favor on anyone who plays game with him or his son. Salvation is something that's way too precious to gamble with. Salvation is much more than bumper stickers and t-shirts. Do you know what I mean? Living a Christian life is a lot more than putting a fish on your car and wearing an I Love Jesus shirt. It's living the life. And living the life means choosing to follow Jesus and not follow your own way. Because you can wear a t-shirt and you can put a bumper sticker or a fish on your car and not have any real change in the car. See, you shouldn't come to Jesus and be the same. Let's be sure that we're not playing games at the foot of the cross. Are you playing? Are you here because you love Jesus? Are you here just to go through the motions? To play games? It's a serious thing. Games is what they do when they're back here with kids. Some of us as adults, we never get there. We never quit playing. Let's read on. Matthew 38, 28, 7, 38 through 45. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but can he save himself?" You hear it? "He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. You see who those group is? They're the insult hurlers. Yeah, they were the guys that threw insults. And Jesus hung there in agony, and people took advantage of the opportunity and they shot snide remarks at him. Some of the remarks seem legitimate. If he's really someone special like he said he's was, then let him save himself. Or better yet, if he's someone special to God, let God save him. And these insults came from all directions. People who walked by hurled their insults, and the Jewish authorities, who no doubt stayed for the entire event, mocked him. Even the criminals who hung on each side joined in with the insults of their own. All the while, Jesus remained silent. He spoke no word in defense. He could have, couldn't he? He could have spoken up and explained he was someone special and that he could save himself, or God could just save him, but this crucifixion, it had to happen. It had to take place. You understand that, right? The crucifixion had to happen, as gruesome as it was. And although he would like to come down off the cross and prove himself, his death was necessary for our salvation and everybody who was there. He had to do it. Are there insult hurlers at the foot of the cross today? Oh, yeah. These are the guys and gals who come in with all the demands. And when God doesn't comply, they turn on God or the church. They say things like, what has God ever done for me?" And I could never give them an answer that would suit them. Or, "Where was God when I really needed him? Why didn't he protect me from that car accident?" "Well, you're standing here, dude, you know. Why did he allow me to lose my job so you could go find another one? Or why didn't he keep my mother from dying from cancer?" It gets a little more serious there, doesn't it? Why did he allow me to get sick? People shake their heads and their hands at God and leave the cross with bitterness, anger, and hatred. And it's a terrible place to be. And I meet those people every day. We blame God for the trouble of this world, when he promised us this world is hard and it hurts and there's pain and there's suffering. But if you'll follow me, eternity won't be like that. Why? Because of the cross. Because what he was willing to do on the cross. Now, let's look at another group of people. In Matthew 27, 45 through 50, from the sixth hour noon to the ninth hour, 3 p.m., darkness came over all the land, and I'm not going to try to repeat what Jesus said, but he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because I'll botch it all up, you know. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine and vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." Now who are these people? They're the thrill seekers. You know those people? The thrill seekers. They're there watching to see if something exciting is going to happen. Man, these people, they attended the crucifixion looking for something spectacular. So far, Jesus has been silent, though. And nothing but darkness had been unusual. But when Jesus spoke as he did, calling out to God, these people got excited. They said, "Hey, let's get him something to drink so he'll stay alive longer so then, you know, we'll see what's going to happen." Are there thrill seekers at the cross today? Oh, yeah, lots of them. Maybe we have more thrill seekers coming to churches in recent times than ever before. They're the people who are looking for entertainment and excitement. And if they don't get in much of either, then they go looking for another church till they find it. You know what I'm talking about. And if they can't find excitement and entertainment in a church somewhere, they just stop going to church altogether. Rather than a solid, consistent life walk with God, these people are like a junkie looking for another spiritual fix. Now, don't misunderstand me. God created emotions, right? And he created them for our good. And emotion is important in our relationship with God because you need to feel it, don't you, sometimes? Do you feel it? Makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck and you just want to run to him. Say, "Oh, I love you, God," you know. Don't you love that feeling? But there's the other side of those emotions. Emotionalism is a terrible substitute for faithful discipleship. For what? Because what happens when the emotion is gone? The faith is gone. It's like marriage. Marriage. How many of you have been married very long and you've had the same warm fuzzies the whole time? Nope. And your spouse feels the same way. They just may not say it in front of you. But sometimes that emotion is just not there. But faithfulness keeps you in it, and the emotion comes back. And the same thing is true with God. If you'll stay faithful and stay the course, that faithfulness will come back. That love, that emotion, that warm, fuzzy feeling you get deep in your soul when you sing songs to him, it'll come back. It may not be here today, but if you'll stay the course, it will come back. You know, marriage is based on commitment, but you know, marriage is also based on contentment. Not marriage based on faithfulness, but feeling. It's deadly, both for marriage and for religion, to go out thrill-seeking. Your thrill should be, "He died for me." That should be thrill enough. Does that mean we should give you a subpar experience when you're at church? No, we should give it our best. But you didn't come here for the show, I hope. I hope you came because you love Jesus. Let's look at this last group. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He finally passed. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split and the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. I'd have run like a scalded dog, I'm telling you. But they came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. There's more. When the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And among them were Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now, finally at the cross, there's this last group of people I want to talk about. The devoted followers. Which group do you fit in? Are you a devoted follower or do you follow in the other ones? Now, be honest with yourself. I don't want you to just holler it out. You know, most of the apostles, they weren't present here. They'd already jumped the gun. They were gone. Matthew didn't tell us, but we know from the other gospels that Jesus' mom was there and John was there. And along with them, a lot of women who were faithful followers and devoted. Guys, we're in trouble. These people were faithful and courageous enough to follow him wherever he went, even to the cross. Today, will you find the devoted followers? They're still at the foot of the cross. Most of us are here today fall into that category. We love Jesus and we're thankful for his cross, and we've come to worship him and be reminded of what he's done for us. We're not here out of duty. We're not here to play games or hurl insults. We're not just here for excitement. We're here to praise our Lord and Savior and learn and grow in him. That's the reason you got up and took a bath and came to church today, right? Praise God for a church full of devoted followers of Jesus. I mean, we have spoken about the people who watched the event. Now let's talk briefly about the people who were won over by the event, because that's where the rubber hits the road. The Gospels tell us specifically that two people who watched the event were won over at the cross. And I'm sure there were many more won over that day, but the Bible only talks about those two. Both men began as part of one of the groups we already discussed. So if you come to church for excitement, good, I'm glad you're here. If you came to church because you want to yell insults at me, I can take it. It happens all the time. If you came to church out of duty, good. Because maybe you'll be won over today by what happened at the cross. Because you had to come here in one of those groups. And the centurion was one of the soldiers who was there to do his duty. He was likely one of the soldiers that entered into the game playing for his clothes. And the thief on the cross was the group of insult hurlers. But he took his turn at throwing jabs at Jesus. But at some point in that day, both men experienced change. And maybe that change was gradual, one thing leading to another, or maybe it was instantaneous and it came by surprise. Nevertheless, both men began the day faithless and ended up faithful. I've been that guy who came out of duty. You know, I was a church member before I was ever a preacher. I didn't go in the ministry until I was 30, and I was the guy who just kind of wanted to go through them. I thought I could drink enough grape juice and eat enough crackers to get me to heaven, you know. I just go through the motions, put my $5 bill in the plate when it came by and thought, hey, everybody, look at me, $5. That's what I did. I'm telling you. But at some point, by going through the motions, it stuck. And it changed me. And I went from just an observer to participation, to taking it seriously. Quit playing games and said, you know what, God, I love you. You loved me enough to send Jesus, and he did this for me, and I'm going to change because of what you did for me. Now help me, Lord. You know, what was it about Jesus on the cross that transformed these guys? Was it the incredible grace in which Jesus suffered and died, and many remained silent in the face of insult and persecution? Jesus' greatest concern on the cross was for his mother he left behind and the forgiveness of the people who were nailing him there. In addition to that, perhaps they were transformed by the physical signs. I mean, it went dark in the middle of the day and there was an earthquake. I mean, they didn't exactly not have excitement. Whatever it was about Jesus on the cross, it pierced those hardened hearts of these guys. And it opened them up to faith in Jesus. And that cross has that same power today. The same power from 2,000 years ago is the same power we have today. If anybody will look long enough and hard enough at Jesus and the cross, you can't walk away the same. Because the cross proves the love of God for mankind. And the cross proclaims the justice of God against the sin of mankind. The cross provides forgiveness that we all need. Did you find yourself in the people on the cross some 2,000 years ago? Were you there back then? Did you find that you fit into one of the categories? Are you honest enough to admit which one you really fit into? Were you there today? How will you respond to Christ who gave his life for you? Will you be transformed by every day as you visit the cross? Is this the moment of transformation for you? Is it time for you to put your faith in Jesus and receive the salvation he offers? We would rejoice at the opportunity to baptize you into Christ so that you can start that walk today. Will you leave here today a more devoted follower of Jesus? I pray so. So much happened at the cross. Insults, mockery, pain. But most of all, love happened. Love happened that day over 2,000 years ago. Salvation came in the form of a man nailed to a cross. Forgiveness came in the form of Jesus. What are you going to choose? It's funny how that ends up there every Sunday, isn't it? No matter how you talk about Jesus, it always comes down to a choice. Will you choose Jesus? Will you become a devoted follower? Or will you just remain in those other categories? You have to make a choice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And I thank you for your love and your mercy. I thank you that Jesus was willing to go to the cross so that we might experience forgiveness. We might experience what it is to be truly loved and cared for. But Lord, I know that many of us, we get caught up in our own emotions and our own world, and we forget. We forget the sacrifice that was given. May we focus on the significance of the cross every day so that he can continue to transform us and make us more into the image that you want us to be, not what we want to be. And we ask for your power and your grace as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we offer the invitation, and it's an invitation of Jesus and the cross, because you know without the cross there would be no point in me standing up here. There would be no point in you getting up and getting ready and coming to church. There would be no reason for Sunday to be something special for us if it wasn't for the cross. Without Jesus and what he did for us, we have no hope. We have no hope. And I have sat with many people as they denied Jesus before they left this world. And there's nothing sadder in this world than to sit on someone's deathbed and have them say no to Jesus. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, because I know that they have no hope as they leave this world, and they fall into that category of the bitter and the angry. And Jesus offers you an opportunity to come with your sins, your bitterness, your anger, your hurt, and leave them at the foot of the cross. Leave it there. And walk with joy. Don't you want joy in your life? There's joy found in the suffering of your Savior. There's joy found where there is hopelessness. But you have to choose it. You have to say, I want Jesus. I want to come forward and confess Him as Lord of my life. I want to be baptized into Christ, receive the Holy Spirit. Choose it. Because that's the most important thing you'll ever do. It's much more important than being entertained. It's much more important than going to lunch today. There's nothing more important than your salvation. Because eternity is a long time. Will you choose it? Now, for a lot of us who've chosen that a long time ago, this is the chance for you to choose to move out of one of those other categories into that devoted follower. Just choose it. We're going to stand and sing this song, and let's sing it to our Savior and make a decision to follow Him today as we stand and sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out and worshiping with us. Hey, now, the congregational meeting is next Sunday during the Sunday school hour. If you want to come and eat biscuits with us and grits and fruit and, you know, all that stuff that I shouldn't do, but I'm going to next Sunday. But come and you can overlook the budget and ask any questions and just vote. So you come and join us. It starts at, 9:30 to 9:45, somewhere in there. And we'll be downstairs. That's what that room's for, food, right? Besides, food makes everything better. So we'll have that going on. And there's lots of great things happening. Like the teenagers today. Let me tell you about what the teenagers are getting ready to do. You know, they're coming here. We're going to eat lunch with them after this. And they're staying longer after church every Sunday now. They're getting their church. While the rest of us run off and get our lunch, they're staying to become more devoted followers. What an example, you know. I'm excited with things going. We got trunk or treat coming up. There's going to be sign-ups for that. We got lots of stuff going on, and I am just excited for where we're headed because I believe that this church is going to do great things in the name of Jesus. All right. let's go be the church, guys. I'll be up here if you need me. And, hey, Woodstock Christian Church loves you. Let's go show the world how much Jesus loves them. All right. Mason, will you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time in your house. And we pray, Lord, that as we go out, that you grant us your protection and your peace and your courage, and that you guide our steps, Lord, and that you might place people on our path that need our help and our assistance. And you might place people on our path that we can bring closer to you. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.